Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram are the same person, although appearing in two different forms. What is the difference between Krishna and Balaram? What's the difference?
Balaram is leaning on Krishna in Vrindavan.
That doesn't necessarily signify the same difference.
Balaram is very first example of Krishna.
Is what? The expansion? First expansion. That doesn't say what the difference is. Yeah, that's right. Krishna is black and Balaram is white. That's what's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Balaram is described as the Pratimurti. It means another form. He's the same person. There's no difference whatsoever. Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Amina Tishtanna Anavatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samadabhat Paramakumanya Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. There are many expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beginning with Ram. Ram means Balaram. There are three Rams. Of course, there may be so many Rams. We find so many people in India called Ram Kumar, Sri Ram, like this. Among the personalities of Godhead, there are three Rams: Ramachandra, Balaram, and Parashuram. Krishna is also Ram, because he's the Absolute Truth. Rama means the Absolute Truth. Ramante yanti, Ramante yogino nante. What's the next one? Satyananda chiratmani, iti rama padena, so param brahma vidhiyate. The Absolute Truth is known as Rama, because he gives pleasure. Especially to the yogi, he gives pleasure, those who are searching after the Absolute Truth. So Ram is the first incarnation, and from him all the other incarnations expand. They appear in this world. Krishna also appears in this world. Krishna is the original form of the Personality of Godhead. So this is mysterious. First thing that's mysterious, how Ram and Krishna are the same person, although they appear in different forms. We don't see any such thing. Ram comes to assist Krishna in his pastime, Balaram. Often you find Balaram is called Ram, for short. Someone has a long name, usually you make it a little shorter. So we find Rama Rama Mahabaho. That's when the cowherd boys were addressing Rama. Oh Rama, mighty Rama. They say, you've got big strong arms, why don't you go to Taliban and kill this Dhenakasu? They addressed him, Rama. So Rama and Krishna are the same person, yet we find that Rama appears to assist in the pastimes of Krishna. It appears they're different people. This is mysterious. The very nature of Krishna's pastimes are mysterious. Mysterious to us, because they are Atimatya. They are beyond our level. We are on the level of mortal beings, subject to birth and death. The first verse in which Rama is mentioned in Bhagavatam mentions all these points. Kṛtavān kila kārmaṇi saha rāmena keśava. Atimātyena bhagavān kūḍha kapata mānuṣa. It states that Krishna and Balaram, they appeared as human beings. But they are atimalcha, they are beyond the platform of human beings. They are kapatamanusha, means they're cheating. They're showing themselves to be human beings, but they're not. They're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are atimalcha bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But guha, covered over. Therefore, they can't be understood by ordinary people. Naham takasha sarvasa yogamaya samavita. Krishna cannot be understood by ordinary people because he's covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya. This verse that we're reading today is spoken by Krishna to Yoga Maya, who is arranging for the pastimes of Krishna. Here we see that Krishna is telling Yoga Maya that you arrange to take this Balaram, who is in the womb of Devaki. You take him from her womb and put him in the womb of Rohini. Now the question comes up that in Devaki's womb there had already been six demons. So how is that, that six demons are appearing in the room of a pure devotee? How is it possible? And how is it that Krishna is going to go to such a place? We install the deity in the temple. The temple is supposed to be very clean and perfect and pure. We see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very assiduously cleaning the whole temple, Gundicha, Mamarva. That he wanted to make it very clean because that is the nice place where Krishna will come. It should be very clean and nice. So how is it that the six demons, they appeared in the womb of Devaki and they killed one after the other. Boom, 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 boom. They came out. And immediately the gate to comes. That was Vasudeva's promise. That I will give all my sons, one after the other. First of all he said, I'll give the eighth son. And then Kamsa became, no, give them all to me. Let's not make any mistakes. Let's not play roulette. Only we'll take them all. So he was doing that. One after the other, they were killed. How is that? Why is that? So there's some mystery here. It's said that, here it's described that Devaki symbolizes pure devotion. Now it's not that sometimes we hear some discussion that someone has said, a famous person from Gujarat who's known as a Mahatma and the founder of the nation, father of the nation, has said that Kurukshetra is not a real, it symbolizes the battlefield of life. And the five Pandavas, they symbolize the five senses. So this way you can say anything symbolizes anything else. Just like I heard that Vaikuntha was saying that Rasa Ghosh Prabhu symbolizes Lord Brahma because he has five children. Although Lord Brahma has many more. But the one name of Brahma is Prajapati. And there are other Prajapati, like Daksha. He doesn't have five children, he has 1,000 or 10,000 at a time. So you can invent something as being some, I mean, things come in numbers, so you can always ascribe one thing which comes in numbers to something else. If you see six trucks going in a convoy, you could say this symbolizes the calm crow, Lord Maha. You can say anything that you like. If you see two birds flying together in the sky, you can say this represents the Ashwini Kumaras, because they also come in twos. But not necessarily true. Now the fact is that Kurukshetra is an actual place. It's true that in one sense the Bhagavad Gita, the discussion symbolizes the struggle on the field of life that we have to overcome by surrendering to Krishna. That doesn't mean that Kurukshetra is not a real place. As far as the five Pandavas symbolizing the five senses, how is that? What's the similarity? It's just an imagination. But here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given me an explanation that Devaki symbolizes pure devotion and the six demons who are killed, they represent the six bad qualities. Lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion and madness. Now it's not that Devaki is not a real person. Sometimes people, they like to explain. They're the Shastras, and because they can't accept. Ganesh has an elephant head, so they try to explain it in some kind of, well, this symbolizes that and that symbolizes something else, but actually Ganesh does have an elephant head. It doesn't symbolize anything, it's just a fact. Shastra states he has an elephant head. So Devaki is a real person, and the six sons of Devaki who were killed by Kamsa, these things actually happen. These things do happen. But at the same time, some symbolic explanation can be given to that. How it happened, actually they were asuras, but before that, they were demigods. They were what? Fire gods. The six sons of Marichi, they're demigods. But they happened to laugh at Lord Brahma. They made some joking words. Lord Brahma, he was sexually attracted to his daughter, which is not proper, of course. Nowadays there may be some propaganda that it is proper. You never know, the modern world is highly contaminated. What they're going to recommend next, we don't know. Yes, have sex with your daughter, get, you know, train her up. Life, the purpose of life is to have sex, so give her some good practice early in life. There may be some idea like that, but in civilized society, it is most, I mean, you can't, hardly you can imagine anything more degrading. And Lord Brahma was the most exalted, supposed to be, most exalted person in the universe, was attracted like that. So the six sons of Marici, they laughed. However, that was not considered proper. This is Vedic culture. It's different to the modern Western culture where you just criticize everything and everybody, and whether it's senior, there's no such thing as senior, senior, junior, it's all the same. No, Vedic culture is very much different. Even though Lord Brahma did something which is not at all proper, he should not be criticized. Now we find that Lord Brahma, after this, he again came back to his proper position. If he had continued in that way, then certainly it would have to be seen that he was doing something wrong. Just like, there are so many examples. King Vena, he was doing something wrong. He was given a chance to rectify by the brahmanas. But then when he didn't rectify, he was removed from his position. He was removed from his body, actually. So the Vedic culture is to give respect and to give the benefit of the doubt and give people a chance to rectify. But the sons of Marici, they committed the offense of maryada vyatikrama, which means to step over the proper etiquette. Prabhupada mentions in this respect that Krishna never forgives such a thing. He doesn't like it if one insults his devotees in this way. So for this offense, the six sons of Marici, they had to be born as demons. And they became the sons of Kalanemi, one famous demon. Kalanemi in his next life was Kamsa, became even more famous. His fame increased, his infamy. Fame and infamy, it's opposite word. In Sanskrit also it says yasha and aparasha, fame and infamy, opposite of fame. So they approached Lord Brahma to get benedictions. They saw Hiranyakashipu, he also went to Brahma and got benedictions by which he became immortal, apparently immortal. So we shall do the same thing. When Hiranyakashipu, so they got all their benedictions, but when Hiranyakashipu saw that, he wasn't happy. He said, you should have come to me. I'm the boss here nowadays. I got the benedictions from Brahma. You should have come to me. You're not following the proper etiquette. So he cursed them that in your next life you should be killed by your own father. Means in this life they're sons of Kalanemi, and next life they're to be killed by Kamsa. So they took birth in the womb of Devaki. That was the arrangement. This is all being arranged by Yogamaya. How here we see Krishna is telling Yogamaya, take this boy, take this embryo from the womb of Devaki to that of Rohini. But she already arranged that those six sons, they were born and immediately taken and killed, one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. Now how is that, that they were demons? Actually they were gods, demigods. They became demons. And after this they again got back their position as demigods. Because later when Krishna and Balaram, they went to school. See, even the Supreme Lord, he goes to school, because he learned everything very quickly. So his guru, what happened? Sandipani Muni, he wanted his son back from the ocean. So Krishna and Balaram delivered. That was the Dakshina they delivered. So when Devaki, later she heard of this, So when Krishna and Balaram, after they had killed Kamsa, and Kamsa and so many others, Kamsa and his brothers and the wrestlers and so many demons, the elephant, the washerman, they killed a whole bunch. Krishna and Balaram came from Vrindavan to Mathura, and already famous, but they heard so many demons. They were sent to Vrindavan, and Krishna and Balaram killed them, and when they came to Mathura, they just, whoever was left, they just finished them up, the demons of Mathura. So Devaki, she heard that Krishna had delivered the son of Hati. This is later, because only after Krishna and Balaram came to Mathura, then Vasudeva arranged for their, as a dutiful father, he arranged for their Upanayanam, their initiation ceremony, and then they went to school, and then later when they came back, Devaki asked, "You please deliver my son." So Krishna had brought back the sons of Devaki, and even though they were grown up, time had passed, but Devaki suckled them, and then by taking the milk from her breast, which had previously been taken by Krishna, then they got Krishna prasad. They became purified enough to go back to their position in the heavenly planets. But they were going through a period of demoniac life. That is the material world. Sometimes you're a demon, sometimes you're a devotee. Kabudev, Kabudaita, Kabudasha Prabhu. In the cycle of birth and death, sometimes you become a devotee, sometimes you become a demon, sometimes you become servant, sometimes you become a master, and then the cycle is going on, going on, going on. So how is it that the demon taken birth in the womb of Devaki? Now symbolically, Devaki represents pure devotion, and these six demons, they represent kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, greed, lust, anger, greed, kaam, krodh, lobh, more illusion, madness and envy. So, Kamsa, these six demons, they were born from Marichi, who is an incarnation, and Marichi represents the mind. So in the contaminated mind, these six things appear. And Kamsa represents material association. So the pure devotee, they're always afraid of material association, just like Devaki was afraid of Kamsa. But Kamsa, she wasn't afraid so much on her part, and she was afraid that he will kill the Supreme Person. His idea is to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the devotee is afraid that if I have material association, then my Krishna consciousness will be killed. So, devotees should be afraid of Kamsa. And when the six demons of kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, when they are killed, then it is a suitable place for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. In other words, when our mind is freed from all these contaminations, then the Supreme Lord will appear there. Vishayich hariya kabe shuddha habeman tabe ama herava Sri Vrindavan. When our mind is freed from material contaminations, then we can see Vrindavan. This is the process of devotional service, purification, and then Krishna will desire to appear. Krishna does not appear in the contaminated mind. Now it's said that, first of all, Shesh appeared, Sankarsha, Balaram, appeared in the womb of Devaki, to make a suitable place for the appearance of Krishna. That is the service of the Supreme Lord, of the Supreme Lord in his expansion as Shesha. He serves the Supreme Lord. He takes the form, he takes different forms to serve the Supreme Lord, as his umbrella, slippers, throne, different, his bedding. He takes different forms to serve the Supreme Lord. See? He makes an arrangement. The whole spiritual world is an expansion of the potency, said to be an expansion of the potency of Balaram, Ananta, because that's all meant for the service of Krishna. That's why the temple, the whole temple, is said to be none different from Ananta, because the spiritual world is none different from him. It's all an arrangement for the service of Krishna. So first of all, he appears and makes the arrangement. Here the word is used, Devakya Jatare Garbham. Jatar means the within the womb. Jatare means within the womb. So that we hear, there's the famous verse of Shankaracharya. Punarapi Janani Jatare Shayanam. Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani Jatare Shayanam. This is the condition of material life. Again born, again die, again we are born, again we die, repeatedly, born, die, born, die, born, die. Repeatedly, we have to lie down in the womb of a mother. It's not a relishable position. Shankaracharya is teaching, it is not a relishable position. Not at all. It's a very suffering condition. That is described elaborately in the third canto of Bhagavata. Then how is it that the Supreme Lord also appears within the womb on Devaki? This chapter is entitled Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna within the womb. So how is it that Krishna is within the womb? He's within the womb, but it's not like that of the child who is in the womb by his karma. The child who is in the womb by karma, he has to lie down, packed up, squashed with worms. His brothers and sisters are the worms, and that's described in Bhagavatam. Sometimes the worms live in the womb, and because they're born in the same womb. The worms, they bite the body. And if the mother takes very spicy food or too much food, so the stomach becomes acidic, or smokes cigarettes, or drinks alcohol, or takes some other intoxication, then the child in the womb is burnt. Too much salty food. All this description is given, Vedic Shastra, Ayurveda, how the pregnant woman should be very careful what she eats, because that will affect the child. The experience of it is not unconscious. They've shown with some kind of x-ray video how the child in the womb, when they do the abortion, how the child is screaming. They're not unconscious, they are conscious. It's not, sometimes they have a romantic idea that you're simply sleeping very nicely in the womb. And was it Freud who said that we have this idea of going back to the womb? We want to sleep in the womb of our mother. Must have been Freud. He dreamt up all the most crazy ideas. So, but actually, that's a very suffering condition. But the Supreme Lord, he's within the womb of Devaki, he's not in a suffering condition. Everything, first of all, Sankarshan goes there very nicely, arranges everything. Then Krishna appears. And Sankarshan, he goes to the womb of Rohini, who is his eternal mother. Devaki is also his mother, because he appeared in her womb first. Then he went to the womb of Rohini, who was another wife of Vasudeva. First of all, Vasudeva was moving freely. He was living at his own residence in Mathura and delivering the children. But only later Kamsa imprisoned him. When Narad came, and he told Kamsa that, you know, I was just roaming around the heavenly planets and I saw they were all having a meeting. The demigods were having a political get-together about how to kill you. Just thought I'd tell you. So when Kamsa heard this, he was already afraid. Naturally, always afraid. Everyone in the material world is full of anxiety. Even the big, powerful king, he's also in anxiety. He thinks, he's always, that's described in the Niti Shastra, how the king should never trust anybody. He should never take food without having someone take it before him. He should always keep his weapons with him. Even when he's sleeping, he should have another way to get out in case someone comes in one way, you should have a way to escape. The description of the life of a king, that his life is always in danger. There's a description how the Nawab Hussain Shah, who was there at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he became the Nawab. He was just an ordinary servant boy, but somehow or other he came up, he got into the administration of the state, he came up, and when he thought his position was, he thought he could do a coup, then he killed the previous Nawab when he was doing his namaz, he was praying in the mosque. You see, he's bent down, you're not safe. He thought, who will kill me in such a situation? But he was killed. There are so many cases. That Egyptian, what was his name, Sada? So many years he was the president of Egypt. He was reviewing his own troops. They shot him. Indira Gandhi, her own bodyguard, shot him. So you can't trust anyone. That is the condition of a king. So even Kamsa, his position seemed very safe. But he was always in fear because he knew that anyone can kill me any time. He was always in fear, but when he heard this information, he was especially in fear because he heard that the eighth child of Devaki will kill him. And when he heard that the demigods are also getting ready and they're all coming down here on this earth, they're taking birth here just so to vanquish you, then he became more and more afraid. Therefore he imprisoned Vasudeva. So at that time when they heard that, now it's shake up, the government's tightening up, military government's becoming more strict, very tight, you can't move, you can't breathe, you can't do anything. So immediately he sent Rohini to Vrindavan, which wasn't very far away from Mathura, but it was, they may have been considering, it's a village, no one takes it very seriously, they're just a bunch of Vaishyas. The Kshatriyas, they don't fear Vaishyas, they only fear other Kshatriyas, and if they have any sense, they'll fear the Brahmins also, because the Brahmins can also destroy them. A bunch of Vaishyas looking after cows, who cares for them? So Vasudeva had many wives. How many wives? I think there were 9 sisters of Devaki. So that means, had many wives. But specifically, Rohini was carrying at that time. So he sent her off to Vrindavan under the protection of Nanda Maharaj, who was an intimate friend and half brother of Vasudeva. So, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, Sankarsha was taken from the womb of Devaki, and it appeared that she had a miscarriage. And even Kamsa was, placating her. Oh, how unfortunate. And though he was ready to kill the child when the child came out, but he was, what's the word for placating or comforting her? Oh, very unfortunate. I couldn't kill him myself. But actually, that son is still there. Later on, he would come back with Krishna to Mathura. And then Kamsa, even seeing young boys, he was afraid. Because these boys are not ordinary boys. They may appear like ordinary boys, but they killed so many demons. Demons that even the demigods were afraid of. So these pastimes will be described gradually. There's so much depth. Especially this 10th canto of Bhagavatam, so much commentary. So commentators have given so many insights. Hare Krishna. Any question about this?
Krishna.
There's no difference between Ram and Krishna. But if you chant the name of Krishna once, that's equivalent to chanting the name of Ram three times. There's no difference, but there is difference also. Can you understand? It's achintya, it means it's not understandable. It's not understandable by any material means. The same personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the original form, the non-different, non-different in potency. That verse is in Dipachya eva hita shantara madhyupeta dipayate vivita hetu samana dhamma yathaja eva hita vishnu triyavibhati govinda madhyupurushanta mahanja samana dhamma. They are the same characteristic potency, but Krishna is the original form. So different incarnations, they exhibit different potencies. They don't all exhibit. Krishna exhibits fully. Even Krishna, when he comes here, he doesn't fully exhibit his potency. He lifts Govardhan Hill. What's that to lift a hill? He's already holding the whole universe, millions of universes. Vanandi showed how he showed, in some sense, showed more potency than Krishna. In some way, Krishna, we don't find that Krishna covered the whole universe in two steps. So Krishna doesn't show all his potency. Even if he was to show, who could see? Who could understand? So difference and non-difference is there simultaneously. That is basic understanding. It's inconceivable. Krishna is bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest. He's independent, but he is controlled by his devotees. Both things are simultaneously true. All opposites are reconciled in Krishna. How to understand? Not possible by mundane logic. Therefore, achintya. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.